Our series is on freedom, freedom. We have defined freedom as being released from illegitimate bondage so that you can experience becoming what you were created and redeemed to be. Today I want to talk to you about freedom from fear. Freedom from fear. Today there's a lot to be afraid of. We're fearful for our children growing up in this world when there are Amber Alerts and where evil people are doing evil things to the most vulnerable of us in society. We're fearful for our health. And you can see it when something even a little bit is wrong, the worry comes on. And then you watch TV and you don't know what to eat. One minute, one study finds something wrong with it. Then another study says, well, it wasn't that bad. And then the medicine they tell you to take might kill you. It just, you don't know what to do. And you can become fearful medically. We can become certainly fearful financially, fear that the collapse in the culture is going to render us homeless or penniless. A lot to be afraid of today. Terrorism, of course, has created a great sense of fear, just insecurity all around. A lot to be afraid of. And yet, while there are many things that can create fear, cause fear, God does not want us to be owned by fear. He doesn't want us to walk around afraid. The question is, how do I overcome this thing called fear when it becomes a phobia, when it becomes my modus operandi, when it becomes the means by which I function? I live in fear. We can't remove all the scary moments that may ascend into our lives, but I'm talking about where fear has become normative in your life. How to be released? How are we released from that? The Bible talks about so much about fear. So many times the word is used in the Bible, sometimes in a negative sense, other times it's in a positive sense when it tells us to fear the Lord. It's used in a positive sense in terms of our reverence for God, but it's regularly used in a negative sense that is being terrorized by that which is perceived to bring us harm. Of all the passages we could go to, and they are legion, I want to take you to one of my favorites. It's a story found in Matthew, Mark, and John. But I'm going to look at Matthew's version because Matthew tells us something the other two do not about Peter's involvement in this situation. So I want to give you some principles right now to deal with fear. Verse 22 says of Matthew 14, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from land, battered by the waves, for the winds were contrary. The first thing I want you to know about dealing with fear, when circumstances have made you fearful, is if you are in the will of God, Jesus has me here. If you are in the will of God, Jesus has me here. You see, verse 22 says that immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. It was while they were doing what Jesus told them to do that they ran into a fearful situation. We're not talking about people who say, I don't care about Jesus, I don't care about God, I don't care about God's will, I'm going to do my own thing. These disciples at this time were in the perfect will of God and also in a perfect storm. In other words, obeying God can sometimes lead to rough sailing. Now, I know we often hear, you know, follow Jesus and it won't rain. But these gentlemen are following Jesus, and it says that the boat was being battered by the waves. Has life ever beat you up? To be battered. It's just, and the thing about the storm is you can't control it. You have absolutely no say-so about the wind and the waves. It is out of your control, and Jesus put me here. Isn't that one of the reasons why we ask a lot of why questions to Jesus? Why you have me here? Well, first thing I want you to know, when life makes you fearful, and you're going to see how afraid these disciples were in a moment, that if you have committed yourself to Jesus Christ, and to the best of your knowledge, you are operating in his will, then that situation that's making you fearful, Jesus put you in. See, one of the great truths of the Bible that we have to understand is nothing comes to you without passing through his fingers first. It's called sovereignty. That in order for it to get to you, it's got to get to you by permission. So these disciples were in the perfect will of God, yet they are struggling with a bad situation that is going to make them very, very much afraid. Let me go into a little bit more of the detail of their situation. They're in a storm following what Jesus told them to do. We're going to be told in a moment it was the fourth watch. That means 3 to 6 o'clock a.m., so it's dark outside. Not only is the wind beating them up, but they can't see straight. And you know, sometimes when things come out of nowhere and start beating you up and making you afraid, you can't see. You can't see. Everything's a blur. It's dark. Not only that, we're told that in Mark 6, where Mark talked about it, that they were in the middle of the sea. In other words, they're halfway to their journey. So what do you do when you're halfway? Do you keep going? Do you turn back? You Malcolm in the middle. You stuck. Let me tell you something else. Jesus was nowhere to be found. Jesus sent them, and he went to a prayer meeting. Because verse 23 says he went up to the mountain to pray. So when circumstances cause you to be afraid, and you are doing what Jesus tells you to do, Jesus has you here. You're not just there, because whatever is happening there didn't catch him by surprise. Now, I know it shook you up, but it didn't catch him by surprise because you were in his will. You were doing what he said do. Now, if you're out of his will, you're rebelling against him, well, that's another kind of situation. But they were doing what Jesus said do. So the first thing is, you have to understand, Jesus has me here. I don't like being here. I'm scared to be here. I don't want to be here. But I wouldn't have been here if I hadn't done what he told me to do. He told me to do this, and look at where we are. Second principle. When you're in a scary situation, I want you to know Jesus is praying for you. It says in verse 23, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray, and he was there alone. So he sends his disciples to cross the sea without him. He goes to a prayer meeting. Well, Jesus, if you know you're sending me out and you know I'm going to be in a storm, can't you pray with me? You go to a separate location and then you pray. This is called intercession. The Bible says in Romans 8:23 that Jesus makes intercession for his saints. Jesus' full-time job right now, sitting on the right hand of the Father, is to intercede for you. Now, let me explain something. This is really what you want Jesus doing. You want Jesus going to bat for you, interceding with the Father. In John 11, Martha told Jesus, whatever you ask of the Father, he will do it. We've been praying, but we evidently not getting through. We need you to pray. Now, why does Jesus need to intercede for you and me? An intercessor is a go-between. Like getting a lawyer. He's a go-between between the client and the courts. It's a go-between. You see, Jesus has two very vital characteristics you need to know about. He's fully God, so he knows what God's talking about. but he's fully man, and he knows what man is going through. See, the Father knows what you're going through, but he's never gone through it. Only the Son has gone through what it feels like and looks like to be human. The Father has never been human. The God, the Son, Jesus Christ, is the human member of the Trinity. But he's also God. He's what Job called an umpire. Somebody to stand between me and God. Somebody who understands God, but somebody who understands me. It would be like a man delivering, a male doctor delivering a baby, and a female doctor delivering a baby. Both of them know what they're doing. But if that female doctor has had some kids, she understands what you're going through. See, the male doctor can pat you on the back and say, it's going to be all right, and it won't be long, and just hang in there and push, and all that. The male doctor can say it, but he can't feel it because he's never had to go through it. Now, he can watch you go through it, and he knows what to do about it, but he can't enter into your experience because he's never been pregnant. But now this female doctor with three kids who patting you on the back, say, I done laid where you're laying before. I done gone, ooh, ah, before. I have been where you are, so I not only can help you through it, I can walk with you through it because I have experienced it myself. The reason why Jesus intercedes from us is because he can talk to the Father like a human being. But he can also meet the standards of the Father because he's the perfect Son of God. And we live in our imperfection. So what Jesus does when we're in his will in a difficult situation is he intercedes for us. And you remember when Martha moved the stone in John 11, Jesus called on the Father for a miracle because he was interceding. So Jesus Christ is praying for you. Now the question is, what exactly is Jesus praying? In Luke 22, Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, I'm praying for you. What are you praying for, Peter, Jesus? Jesus says, I'm praying that your faith fail not. I am praying that your faith fail not. Why? Because when you have been terrorized by something, it's easy for your faith to fail. It's easy for you to stop believing God. It's easy for you to stop trusting God. It's easy for you to believe that if I hadn't followed God, I wouldn't be in this mess. It's easy for your faith to fail when you're in a terrorizing situation and you are afraid. He said, Peter, I'm praying that you hang in there and don't walk away from me because the going has gotten tough. And if the truth were told, there are many people here who fear has caused their faith to fail. It's the single person who's afraid, if I follow Jesus, I may never get married. I'm afraid I'll be single all my life. And the temptation of faith failing causes them to marry a non-Christian, even though they know that's not God's will. It's the person who has no biblical grounds for divorce, but they just don't want to be married anymore because they're not happy. And so the temptation is for the faith to fail because they're afraid I'm going to be in this miserable relationship for the rest of my life. And the faith fails. Jesus says, I'm interceding. I know it's hard. I know the waves are beating you down and are beating you to death, but I pray that your faith does not fail. In fact, when Mark 6 says it, talks about it, it says, and Jesus saw him struggling. They were in the middle of the water. They were rowing their boats, and they're trying to go this way. It says, but the wind was contrary. In other words, the wind was blowing the opposite direction, and it was strong and was beating the boat to death. In other words, they're trying to get where God tells them to go, and the wind won't let them. Jesus, why tell me to go there if you're not going to let me get there? Why tell me to do this if you're not going to help me get it done? Why are you sending me through all this trouble and I'm making no progress? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm making no progress, and not only am I not making no progress, I'm scared. I'm scared because I'm being beat down with these winds and waves and problems and difficulties, and I'm not getting anywhere. It says Jesus saw him struggling. He's watching him struggle. Now, it's 3, 4, or 5 o'clock in the morning. That means it's dark. It's the fourth watch. They are 4 miles out, because the Sea of Galilee is about 8 miles long. So they're halfway, they're in the middle. So they're 3.5, 4 miles out. There are no lights on the Sea of Galilee. It's pitch black. How Jesus gonna be seeing them struggle? That is, unless he's got eyes that are not like your normal 20/20. But I guess being the Son of God, you can see things. God sees your struggle. He sees your fear. He sees that the waves of life are beating at you and you don't know that you can make it and you are scared to death. He sees that. And he's praying for you. Thirdly, Jesus will come to you, verse 25. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Oh, this is sweet. This is so sweet. I don't even know what to say. I just want to give the benediction and go home. Watch this now. They are scared to death. You're going to see that in just a second. They're terrified because they don't know whether they're going to live or die. And they don't know whether they're going to live or die doing what Jesus told them to do. Jesus knew where they were. He's praying for them. Now he's walking on the water. But wait a minute. Maybe I missed something. Wasn't the water the problem? Wasn't the water what all this issue was about? The winds and the waves beating the ship down? Watch this now. Jesus came to them walking on their problem. Stick with me now. The winds and the wave was their problem. Jesus came to them on top of the thing that was wrong. In other words, Jesus let the problem be the staircase by which he reached them. See, most of us look at what's wrong and we say, where is Jesus? Jesus is looking at what's wrong and saying, that is a great path to get to you. In other words, Jesus allows fearful situations in our lives so that he can come to us in a way he has never come to us before. Look at the next verse. It says, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. And they said, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. They cried out in fear. 12 grown men crying like little girls. These are 12 grown men who are now punks. Because they crying out like little girls. They scared. They're terrified. Why are they scared? Because Jesus was coming to them in a way he had never come to them before. Because they had never seen him walking on water. See, maybe they thought Jesus can't walk on water because we've never seen Jesus walk on water. So that can't be Jesus walking on water because I've never seen it, never heard anybody testify that they've seen it, don't expect it, therefore it can't be. When actually Jesus was using the thing that was scaring them as the way of getting to them because he wanted them to see him come in a way they had never seen him come before. One of the reasons God allows us to be in fearful situations is so he can let you see something about him you never saw before. He wants to let you see him in a way you've never discovered him before. Because see, a lot of us have got God in a little box. We got him, this is the way God does things, this is how God does things, this is when God does things, and we got God trapped. So if God comes another way, we're gonna be like the disciples. It's a ghost, and we're not talking Casper. This is a scary ghost. This is a terrifying situation. And what terrified them was their answer. What terrified them was their solution. What terrifies them was the answer to their problem. They just didn't recognize it because they had never seen him this way before. Listen, when God puts you in a scary situation, he knows you're there. He's praying for you. And guess what? He coming. He coming. But he may be coming in a way you've never seen him before. And that's why you can't put him in a box. Because God will blow your mind this time. He will let you discover some things that you had never imagined he would do. And so he walks to them in the middle of the sea. And when does he walk to them? When no human options are left, because they're in the middle. Because we don't know which way to go. So there's no human options left. Okay. Immediately Jesus spoke to them when he heard them screaming. That's the next line. It says, they cried out, he spoke quick. Okay. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. He speaks the word before he solves the problem. Okay, the storm is still raging. They're screaming because they think they've got a ghost on their hands. He says, take courage. It is I. Stop being afraid. Fear was controlling them. God comforts them with his word before he changes their circumstances. I was on a plane once and we were in terrible turbulence. I mean, horrible turbulence. Turbulence that would, you know, it was, I mean, it felt like, you know, this plane is going down kind of turbulence. It's interesting to hear people do sophisticated screams on a plane. See, they don't want to let out how they're really feeling. And so they're going, now, I know they want to say, but they don't want to say that. So they go, plane is bouncing all over, boom, plane is jumping all over the place. People tightening up seatbelts that are already buckled. You know? Reading the same line over and over and over again. Okay? Looking around, looking out the window, seeing how far they are from the ground. It's just, there's all kind of stuff. In the middle of this turbulence, the captain, hello, this is Captain So-and-so, and we are in some very rough air. You don't say. I have been in touch with the tower, and we are seeking to find a smoother altitude. And so bear with us for a little while until we can find some smoother air, and you'll begin to see the roughness subside. You could see the relief. But we were still in the turbulence when he spoke. It's just hearing his voice. You know the problem with listening to the pilot? We couldn't see him because he was seated somewhere else. I'm going somewhere. He was seated in another location. And he was invisible to our naked eye, but we heard his voice. And even though our situation didn't change, just hearing his voice calm down the plane until the circumstances that was bringing terror and fear changed. I know you can't see Jesus, but if you can just hear his word, he's able to calm you on the inside until the outside settles down. So when you are afraid, listen for his voice, because he is coming to you. Listen, that's why even right now there's somebody in this auditorium who's afraid, but just hearing Jesus say, take courage. Just knowing he uses things that are causing you to be afraid as a place that he uses as his staircase to come to you in a way you've never seen him before, to blow your mind. You see, the problem is they didn't recognize him because they weren't looking for him. They were just trying to get out of this mess. And now my man Peter stands up. I love me some Pete. Peter said to him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Ah, that's Rich. And that's Pete. You know, I got, you know, Letterman has his top 10. I have my top 10 of things I want to see God, playback. What is it, Tebow, whatever it is, play it back. I want to see, like, the Red Sea opening up. Cecil B. DeMille did okay, but I want to see the real deal of the Red Sea opening up. I'm going to say, play that one back. I want to see that one. I want to see the burning bush. That was another thing I want to see. So I got like top 10. And one of my top 10 is Jesus walking on the water. Okay, that's one of my top. I want to see that one. I want a replay on that one. Peter says, bid me to come and walk on the water. Now the question is, why would he make that kind of request? Why would he make that? If this is you, tell me I can come to you on the same problem you coming to me on. Because it's a storm and he's walking on top of the circumstances. Everybody else is terrified by the circumstances. He said, Jesus, you walking on the circumstances. Can I walk on them too? Can I join you not being overcome by it, but standing on top of it? Can I join you? Let me tell you two things Peter is saying here. He's saying, number one, I'd rather be with you out there than my posse in here. I'd rather be with you out there, and it's risky out there, but I'd rather be with you out there than all my homeboys in here. But the main thing Peter is saying, here's the main thing he said. He's saying, I want more. I want to experience more than I've ever experienced before. And if you tell me to come, I'm willing to take a step of faith and experience something I never thought possible because I'm going to join you in what you're already doing. He didn't want to be satisfied to stay in the boat. He didn't want to be satisfied just to be delivered from the storm. He says, before you fix this problem, let me join you and walk on it. Before you ever fix it, I want to see what it feels like to be on top of a situation. See, most of us are praying one prayer, get me out of it, because I'm scared. What Peter says is, before you get me out of it, his prayer wasn't get me out of it, show me what it feels like to walk on it. Show me what it feels like to stand on top of the problem, to stand on top of the fear, to stand on top of the confusion, to stand on top of the terror and walk on it. Bid me come. Now you got to bid me come, because if you don't say nothing, I ain't going. So bid me come. Jesus says to him, okay, Peter, come. Verse 29, come on. Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came to Jesus. That had to be an experience of a lifetime. Peter got to join Jesus on top of the problem. And guess where Jesus wants you to join him? On top of it. But, somebody say but. Seeing the wind. But wait a minute now. This is the same wind he was looking at before he got out the boat. Wind ain't changed. Nothing has changed yet. But seeing the wind, he became, here we go, frightened. He's scared. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. What happened to him is what happens to us. We're okay as long as we're looking at Jesus. But the moment the circumstances remind us how bad things are, you ain't gonna get out of this. You're gonna drown, going down one time. The moment the circumstances take over, fear takes over. It says he became frightened. Why? Because he lost focus. He lost focus on Jesus and the fact that he was now walking on the water with Jesus. And now he's looking at the circumstances, and what does the scripture tell us? He began to sink. So in other words, when you change your focus, you change your stability. When his focus was right, he's walking on top of his problem. When his focus changes, his problem is sucking him under. He's beginning to sink. But Peter's mama ain't raised no dummy, because it says, and beginning to sink, he cried out. You know, he didn't wait till he was all up under the water gurgling. Soon as he saw his heels go down to his ankles, coming up toward his knees, he said, I ain't gonna delay this thing. Help! Jesus, save me. And immediately Jesus reached down. Now look at what Jesus said. Jesus reached down and said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There's a whole lot of lesson there. Number one, he didn't say ye of no faith. He said ye of little faith. Because he had enough faith to leave the boat. See, the other disciples had no faith because they ain't going nowhere. See, faith involves movement. You can tell me all day long, I want to get out of debt. If you don't start honoring God, then that's talk. That's not faith. Faith demands movement. He had little faith because it lifted up his foot and it carried him out of the boat. But the reason why it was little is because he used it to get started, but he didn't use it to keep going. Little faith is where you get started because you trust him, but then you allow circumstances to cause you to stop trusting him. And the reason we know you stop trusting him is you stop walking. You stop walking. You stop moving because you don't see any way you're going to get out of this. You just see this thing is so scary that if I keep going, I'm going to drown, not believing that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. He not only wants you to get started, he wants you to complete the task. He wants you to finish. And he says, why did you doubt? What made him doubt? Same thing that makes us doubt, the circumstances. See, there were negative circumstances, and yet they were in the will of God. So he responds. Peter cries out. Now, to appreciate this, Mark 6 says, they had not learned the lesson of the loaves and the fish. Well, that's the story that precedes this story. What's the loaves and the fish? What does sardines and crackers have to do with me being stuck out here on a lake? He said they didn't learn the lesson. What was the lesson? Well, the loaves and the fish was an impossible situation. How am I going to feed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, verse 21 says? How am I going to feed 20,000 people with two fish and five barley loaves? It doesn't make sense. It can't happen. It doesn't make economic sense. It doesn't seem like financially that can work. They were in an impossible situation. And the Bible says Jesus stood up in this impossible situation with not nearly enough to meet his need and gave thanks. How are you going to give thanks for not enough? He gave thanks for not enough. Now Moby Dick is laying on the beach, orca to kill a whale. They got enough food and they got 12 baskets full left over. So they saw God, watch this, do the impossible. Immediately, it says, he sent them out across the sea. Why did he send them out so quick? He sent them out quick to see, I heard you say amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. God's been good. Say yeah. I heard all that. In church, I heard you affirm. I showed you what I could do. I want to see whether you really learned the lesson or were you just talking. So I'm going to put you in a fearful situation that looks like it has no way out, and I'm going to see whether you believe the stuff you're praising God about. You say they didn't learn the lesson of the loaves and the fish. They didn't learn the lesson our God specializes in impossible situations and even leads us to them. so that we can watch with our own eyes faith overcome fear. Watch this now. When they, Peter and Jesus, got into the boat, verse 32 says, the wind stopped. So the wind has not stopped yet. It doesn't stop till they get into the boat. So that makes me respect Peter a lot. Even though his faith got weak, he was willing to meet Jesus in a storm. Not say Jesus just fixed the storm. When they got into the boat, it stopped. And guess what? John, when he tells the story, John tells us something that Matthew and Mark don't tell us. John says in John chapter 6 that when they welcomed Jesus into the boat, they had reached the place, the land, where they were going. Wait a minute. Last time I read it, they were in the middle of the sea. That means they're 3.5 to 4 miles out when they're battling the storm. But when they welcome Jesus, it says they reach land. Because Jesus can supernaturally cut the time down. He can supernaturally close things off. He can supernaturally take you to where you were struggling to get all yourself, because he wants you to trust him, even in a terrifying situation that brings you fear. And then finally, those who were in the boat, verse 33, worshiped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Why did Jesus let them go through this fearful situation? So they could discover who Jesus is. See, because a lot of folk don't understand who Jesus is. They academically understand that he's the Son of God. But that's academics. This was not an academic statement learned in Bible college or seminary. This was a statement made because he walked on water, met us in a storm, got us to our destination overnight. I know who Jesus is. They said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Better yet, they just got their praise on. Oh, that's why the psalmist says in Psalm 34, he says this. He says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Then he goes on in Psalm 34 and says, "This poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from all of his fears." And then he says how the Lord delivered him from all of his fears. He says, "My fears looked up to him and became radiant." Fears are darkness, he said, but when my fears saw Jesus, my fears began to smile. It's like a parent coming into a bedroom with a child who's scared of a storm outside and thunder and lightning, and the parent shows up in the darkness and grabs the child. The storm is still out there, but the fears have now looked to the parent, and the child can fall asleep. See, you need to tell your fears what to do. You need to say, "Fear, instead of talking to me, I want you to talk to him. Tell him how scared you are. Tell him how insecure you are." Fears talked to Jesus and they were radiant. You know what Jesus wants you to do? He wants you to discover he's the Son of God. He wants you to discover that he is bigger than you ever thought, even when you're in a scary situation. He wants you to see something you've never seen before. I was with a man who was dying, and I was by his bedside, and he only had a few hours to live, and he was scared. He was scared. He's a Christian, but he was scared. It was death. And he knew he was going to die, and he knew it wouldn't be long, and he was scared. And we talked, and we read scripture. And then all of a sudden, he raised his hand up and put his hand down. He raised his hand up again. Then he put his hand down. He raised his hand up a third time. And this time I said, "What is it?" And he said, "I see him." I said, "What?" He said, "I see him. I see him." During his life, he had never seen that before. But now that it was time to transfer from earth to heaven, God let him see something in that moment of fear he had never seen before. Unless you think I'm making something up, all you got to do is read Acts chapter 7, a man called Stephen. Stephen was being stoned to death, the Bible says. Saul, before he became a Christian, was overseeing the stoning. And they put him in his little pit, and the Pharisees began to take rocks and throw it at Stephen. And throw it at, that's a fearful situation when you're being stoned to death. But the Bible says, as the stone started flying to Stephen, Stephen looked up and saw heaven open. And he saw Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of the Father, so that he could even look at the folks stoning and say, forgive them, because they don't know what they're doing. Where do you get that from? Jesus showing up in another way when you're in a fearful situation. How he's going to show up to calm your fears, I don't know. I do know this. He knows where you are. He's praying for you. He's coming to you. He's going to grow you through this situation so you can get your praise on, because you've seen him in a way you've never seen him before. There's a little blind girl who was up in an apartment complex that had caught fire, and she could feel the flames getting nearer, and she could feel her way to the window because she knew the house, but she was many stories up. The window was open and the fireman said, jump, jump, but she was scared, terrified. But the fire is coming, but she can't see down there. Jump, young lady, jump, jump now. All she can say is, I'm scared, I'm scared. No, you've got to jump now. She said, I'm scared, I can't see, it's dark. Now, it wouldn't be long before she'd be engulfed in the fire. In the midst of that fear, the voice rang out, darling, baby, jump now. She leaped out of the window and was caught by her father. See, when a whole bunch of folk were saying jump, there was no security in that. But when she heard her daddy's voice, when daddy said jump, when daddy said, I know you can't see and I know you're scared, but go ahead and jump, because daddy's got you. I don't know what's causing you to be afraid. I know that daddy's saying, walk by faith. Jump, because daddy, your heavenly father, knows where you are and he's going to catch you in his arms. May God give you peace in turbulent times.